Welcome to the Apria podcast, investing in Asian real assets. The theme of the series is Resurgence of REITs in the Asia Pacific, featuring REITs CEOs highlighting market opportunities, strategies, and their professional journey. This series is proudly brought to you by Link Asset Management Limited. In this episode, journalist Mark Cooper speaks with Yoshiyuki Miura, who is the president of the GLP Japan Advisors, the external manager for GLP J-REIT, which owns 83 modern logistics facilities across Japan. Miura-san starts the conversation by sharing with us what the biggest challenges of moving into the REIT sector were for him personally, and how GLP J-REIT was affected by the pandemic. Miura-san also talks about the sustainability initiatives that GLP J-REIT has and explains how involved GLP J-REIT is in tech and what tech developments he expects in the future. Miura-san concludes the conversation with his thoughts on institutional demand for logistics real estate, Japanese REIT code, IPOs, and outbound capital.
Welcome to the Apria podcast with me, Mark Cooper. Today, we're talking to Yoshiyuki Miura, who is president of GLP Advisors, which is the external manager for GLP J-REIT, a Japanese real estate investment trust, which owns, I believe, 83 logistics assets across Japan. Welcome, Miura-san.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you with us. We'll start off with a question about you and your career. You've been in real estate on finance for a long time, but mainly on the unlisted side. Can you tell us a little bit about the differences in being involved with a REIT?
Yes, all skills and experiences I've ever had helped me manage the J-REIT, thanks to the experience in management of unlisted development funds in Japan. I have deep knowledge on development of Japan logistics. So I could provide the J-REIT investors with the market landscape, such as a trend of a land price or a competitor situation, etc. So to me, such experience in the unlisted funds could add value to the management of our J-REIT. So as to the portfolio management, I believe there is not much difference between the private and the public. So I'm always thinking of what investors expect to fund from the risk-return perspective. So the REIT is held by a large number of investors and can be traded at mark-to-market price every day. So that having an interaction with the market is very much important. On that point, I found my career on the investor side is very helpful to me. I always keep in mind to maintain high transparency of our operations and address a crisp message to the investors.
How was GLP REIT affected by the pandemic? And I know, obviously, for logistics in general, the pandemic has been quite helpful. But yet, of course, for the business in general, it's been difficult. Tell us about your experience.
Basically, we haven't had any negative impact from the pandemic. Since the outbreak of COVID-19 in Japan, we have not experienced any waivers, reductions or deferrals of our payment caused by the pandemic. And so fortunately, we achieved 100% rent collection until today. So on the positive side, clearly acceleration in e-commerce growth after the pandemic happened is one of the major driving factors for growing demand for logistic facilities in Japan. The lease contract ratio of EC tenants in Japan increased to the 40% in 2020 last year, from a 30% in 2019.
Now, I was looking through the various corporate announcements from the REITs, and I saw that I think it was earlier this month you launched a 20-year green bond. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and also about the green financing program in general?
Yeah, first of all, the ESG is one of our focus area, and the making green financing is our key initiative. The sustainability bonds, where the proceeds will be exclusively applied to finance or refinance a combination of a bond, the both green and the social projects, due to high performance of GLP assets in terms of environmental and social contribution, we could raise super long-term finance at the reasonable cost from an institutional investor. So as a result of that, GLP J-REIT became the top issuer of ESG bonds among 62 J-REITs. So we still have a decent capacity to issue the either green bonds or sustainable bonds based on accumulated valuation of our properties that have a high green certifications or support their local community.
Okay, and maybe you could tell us a bit more about those other sustainability initiatives, either regarding environmental or social factors.
Sure. I think that our logistics facility is a kind of a social infrastructure. So we need to support the logistics across the nation 24 hours and 7 days. So we have actively engaged ourselves in community involvement and have concluded disaster prevention agreement with the local cities. In case of big typhoon or earthquake, it can play a critical role as a shelter for local residents and a disaster base. A total of 14 properties in our portfolio are now available as emergency shelters or disaster management at the bases, accommodating up to 8,600 people.
Okay. And do you, one of the things I've noticed that some logistics developers do is because obviously of the sort of the long and low profile of fitted solar panels. Is that something that you've looked at or that you do in your portfolio?
Yeah, we do have a solar panel on the roof of our facilities. So that solar panels generate the income to the unit holders of a J-REIT. So we've been focusing on the like renewable energy things in the GOP group. So we continue to put the solar panel on the rooftop. So for the internal use or external use.
Now, again, having a look at the list of announcements, I saw that you the REIT sold an asset last year. Now, I know obviously that REITs do tidy up their portfolios rather than continually accumulating, but I'd just be interested to know, broadly speaking, what is your rationale for asset sales? Why would you choose to sell a certain asset rather than refurbish it or upgrade it?
Yeah, we sold the two assets located in the west of Japan area the last year. That strategy is one of the our competitive edge. So we hold the largest number of properties with a 22% unrealized gain at the portfolio level. So by leveraging that, we aim to unlock such gain to boost our DPU growth, dividend per unit for the unit holders, for the investors. The assets we pick to sell have a limited upside in the secondary or tertiary area. However, those properties were fully leased by the good tenants, given the average occupancy ratio of 83 properties is 99%. So it does not make sense for us to hinder tenants' operation for, let's say, refurbishing or upgrading. So we believe that selling the asset was the best to maximize our cash flow for the investors.
Okay. Something I've noticed about logistics real estate in general is that today it's a lot more high tech than it used to be. Sort of the days of just being big sheds are kind of gone. Can you tell us a bit about GLP's involvement in tech and also maybe a bit about what you expect in the tech space from logistics in the future?
Sure. The GLP Japan, the sponsor the group, has the PropTech affiliate called Monopole, which was established in 2017. The company is specializing in the providing logistics solutions using state-of-the-art technologies. So we hired an engineer from like IT company, and also we hired the professional to choose the tech ventures in Japan. So by using them, we focus on the technology, the skills in the Japan logistics. So some of GPJ's properties started adapting integrated SaaS, like a software as a services, the management model, which controls vital warehouse function, such as the vehicle docks or transport and delivery, which were developed in-house by Morpho, our affiliate. So in Japan, generally a decreasing labor force is one of the major concerns in logistics arena. So however, even EC guys or the big 3PL, the tenants, still hire lots of part-time workers for their operations. So we could bring solutions to establish more efficient the picking and the packaging operations for them by using our technology of robotics. So GOP Group has been active in building a logistic ecosystem, which is a one-stop shop for all type of solutions for logistic corporations and individuals in the industry. So we continue to develop advanced technology by in-house or partnering with the tech ventures.
And you mentioned robotics. How much use of robotics is there in Japanese logistics? I mean, could you see in the future, could you see a day when you could have a logistics facility that was almost entirely run with automation and just a minimal number of people?
Yeah, the using robotics is still limited in the Japan logistics. So the big tenants, the big company, big EC guys, started developing their robotics for their operations. However, there are still small to mid enterprises at a company who want to take a floor in our facilities. So we intend to help them by using robotics going forward.
Now, something I heard is that in Tokyo, there has been draft legislation to allow drone flights, which might be used as delivery. Is that something you've looked at, even in your kind of futurist department, about whether drones could be used to deliver goods around Japan?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We have seen some like EC company started using a drone for their delivery. In JP Group, so we they use the drone to check our facility. So from the property management standpoint. So in the property management team, we fly the drone to check the old facade of logistics facilities. So that's the save the cost or the save the labor forces. So those kind of the case will be expanding going forward, I believe.
Excellent. That sounds very high tech. Now, moving to the wider logistics market, I mean, one of the things that's characterized real estate investment over the past few years is enormous institutional demand for logistics properties. Do you think this will continue? And what does that mean for logistics pricing in Japan?
It will continue. So I believe that the cap rate continues to compress, given the stability and the upside potential of Japan logistics. So we did divestments of our logistic facilities twice after the COVID-19 pandemic happened. So comparing to the bidding pre-COVID-19, we had seen more variety of funds and the companies in our bidding list, and found that the companies who had never invested in the logistics before COVID-19 participated in our bidding. So that would be the proof that the logistic real estate accelerates to attract the capital from various capital sources.
And in terms of pricing, how low do you think logistics yields can get?
You know, if we put the, let's say, prime asset in the prime area, I mean, the prime logistics asset, as of today, that facility would be traded at the sub-4 level in terms of a cap rate. So the people, they want to have the logistics in their portfolio. So the price of logistics is expected to be going up going in the future, I think.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about the market for REITs in Japan. Are you satisfied at present with the Japanese REIT code? And are there any improvements that you would like to see that would make operating JLPJ REIT more straightforward or more efficient?
20 years have passed since the Tokyo Stock Exchange started the J-REIT in 2001. So and the legal system of J-REIT has been improved over the time. So however, I believe there is still room for improvement in the system. So for instance, when J-REIT executes the public offering, J-REIT is required to offer more than 50% of the accumulated offer units for the domestic investors, I mean the Japanese investors, to maintain the non-taxable entity status. However, this kind of a regulation does not exist in other major markets such as the US, Australia, and Singapore. So if this kind of domestic control regulation is removed, JREITs like a GLP could take more like a flexible offering strategy, I think.
Okay, interesting. And in terms of the sort of market dynamics, I mean, do you think it's interesting? So in some REIT markets, it seems that there's not enough REIT IPOs and people in the market would always like to see more REITs emerging. But then in others, there seems to be a need for consolidation because of a large number of REITs with a small market capitalization. Where is Japan in that dynamic? Does it need more REITs or fewer bigger REITs?
In Japan, there are 62 JREITs in the market. So at some point, the consolidation might be needed if the market found that there is a JREIT not having, let's say, adequate growth potential. So I'm not sure when it happened, but say at some point, some consolidation might be observed, let's say, due to the such situation.
I understand that there's, you know, that in Japan there's a relatively small number of hostile takeovers and things like that. So is that a barrier to consolidation?
It will be a barrier, but we saw the one case of a consolidation. It's a double, but we need to have say investor agree the that consolidation idea if like some JREITs want to do the some like the consolidation the deal.
Yeah, okay, so it would be kind of a teaming up rather than a hostile situation. Okay, thinking more about the investor size, what are your expectations for Japanese real estate investors and their appetite for real estate overseas? Do you expect to see more over the coming years, more Japanese institutions moving offshore?
Given the low interest rate environment in Japan, Japanese investors do have the capacity to deploy the capital to the overseas real estate. So I have the background on the Japanese institutions. So I'm feeling that the Japanese investors is more they're going to the overseas in terms of real estate investments. So for the last 5 years, Japanese investors have evolved and made a strong commitment to the investment in their overseas real estate. They have hired the seasoned professionals to beef up the team. So I believe they will demonstrate more presence in global real estate market in the near future.
Where would you expect, a Japanese institutional investor that's looking at overseas real estate for the first time? Do you expect them to invest locally, say somewhere else in Asia Pacific, or would they prefer to kind of go straight away to the US, for example, a big and different market?
As a first step, they want to make the base of investments for their global real estate investment program. So with that, they prefer to invest in the, let's say, US or the European countries, like developed countries. Then once they set up their base, distributing a stable income to their company or their parents, they will start looking at the other regions such as APAC.
Okay, just to kind of finish off, we started talking about the pandemic and the effects on GLP, but I'd just be interested to talk a little bit about the wider impact in Japan. I mean, relative to a lot of countries, Japan has kind of done really well. So I think I'm right in saying that you've never had a sort of a really tight lockdown, and also that, you know, we've seen the death toll from COVID-19 has been relatively very low compared with a lot of other countries. So do you think that means that kind of when it's all over, that people in Japan will return to life and work, and I guess therefore use of real estate pretty much as they did before? I mean, I noticed in China, once things were sort of over last summer, that people were back in the office and people were back in the shopping centres. Whereas, say, in the US and Europe, people are talking about the prospect of, you know, a great deal of change in the way that people work. Where do you think Japan will kind of sit in that equation?
Actually, we are sitting in the middle between the, say, the U.S. and China. Since the government lifted the state of emergency, the people have gradually been returning to the let's say, normal life to some extent. But I don't think we can completely get back to the world where we lived pre-COVID-19. EC penetration ratio will continue to increase, and the companies would more consider well-being for employees. So that would affect the real estate market in Japan and change the definition of a workplace or the consumer habits. So,
and I mean, have you personally, or has GLB in Japan changed the way you work to accommodate the difficulties of the pandemic? Do you expect that to change, to kind of remain in the future? Would you see yourself working from home a couple of days a week, maybe?
We changed our work style back in February last year, when the COVID-19 happened in China. So we immediately changed the policy that employee can work from home. So even the COVID-19 will disappear, we continue to maintain the current policy to allow the employee work from home. And sometimes if they need, so they can come to the office to have a chat or to have a meeting with the colleagues. So we're going to take the kind of hybrid the policy in terms of our work style.
Okay, yeah. So just allowing kind of more flexibility.
Yes.
And do you think that's going to apply in a widespread fashion? So you think it might affect the way that that companies in Tokyo occupy their office space? I suppose what I'm asking is that's going to be less office space?
Yeah, it would be too early to comment on that. But some of the companies will follow the way that GLP will adapt, and some of the enterprises may ask the employee to go back to the office. But as a matter of fact, the vacancy ratio of Japan, the office, been inching up. So the last time the research firm announced that the Tokyo the office vacancy hit the 5%, over the 5%, which was kind of surprising for the market. So we continue to monitor the situation in terms of a vacancy.
And you mentioned continued growth in e-commerce. How much has e-commerce jumped in the sort of the year of the pandemic? And I just wondered if you're, because that's probably, I'm sure you have forecasts for where you see that going, whether you think it's going to kind of keep going from that jump, or whether it will sort of level off for a little bit. What's the outlook for e-commerce growth in Japan?
Yeah, we will see the more, the much bigger number in terms of EC penetration. The e-commerce, the penetration ratio, say, been increasing over the year, the period of COVID-19 in the US, one day in UK. So we haven't seen those data. So unfortunately, we haven't got any detailed number for Japan, but we believe that Japan been following that trend as well.
And that's obviously going to mean more demand for logistics space. I should have asked this about this earlier. One of the things, you mentioned your tenants taking floors of a building, and that's obviously, it's not an exclusively Japanese phenomenon, but the sort of the multi-story logistics building is something that I think kind of first emerged in Japan. With more e-commerce demand, does that mean kind of taller logistics buildings, or is there land available to meet the increased demand?
Japan has a regulation in terms of FAR. So it's, in the area of prime logistics area, there are a lot of limitations to increase the floors, I believe. But some of the manufacturer who have old factory want to sell those factories for their cash knees. So we might take the those like the large large land to combat factory to the logistics for e-commerce guys or other 3PL guys.
Okay, maybe just to finish off, some advice from you for maybe some of the younger watchers out there. Tell us about what would be your kind of key pieces of advice that you would give to any young, ambitious person who was in the early stages of their real estate career. What ought they be doing in order to get where you are?
Yeah, I would say stay hungry and be humble. So the real estate investment is a kind of like a cyclical business. So having mind of looking forward is very much important. So whether you are on the manager side or investor side, the experience you gain in your area could help you even you move to the other side. So believing the dots will connect down the road.
Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed, Mira-san. Very good to speak to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurgence of REITs in Asia Pacific podcast series. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, and we'll be back soon with more episodes featuring industry leaders and deal makers who specialize in REITs. If you like what you've heard and would like to give us feedback on future episodes, please do drop us a note on info@apria.asia. For more content and information, visit www.apria.asia or follow us on LinkedIn.